Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, that's how we start our mornings off here. It's going to be like that for a while. Today's podcast is titled Social Capital, the Original Financial Resource, 619-768-2945. And I'm going to repeat this information several times this year because many people today that buy a house typically get into a situation, financial situation, that they, if you can't pay cash, you basically can't afford the house most times. So most people get a 30-year mortgage. That's probably the average person that gets a home mortgage gets a 30-year mortgage because they don't have enough money saved up or the cash flow to buy that house or what have you, or even build it. So, and here, and now I repeat, I'm going to put this out here again. The first official European to set foot, or expedition to set foot on the continental United States, was possibly on set foot in what is now known as Florida, and that was in 1513. So, and they built structures. They were building houses. So from 15, let's see, I think the first bank in what we might now call the United States was in 1790. Now that's after the birth of the official United States as we know it today, which was July 4, 1776. So let's go from 1776 in Ponce de Leon, 1513. So from 1513 to the birthday, July 4th, 1776, that's 263 years. The United States of America right now isn't even 250 years old. I think we're 240 something or whatever, low 40s. But the United States isn't even 250 years old yet. So for 263 years, from when Ponce de Leon set foot in what we now call Florida or the United States, wasn't that back then, for 263 years, people built houses without any bank financing. How did they do it? They had, and this comes to education, and I'm going to call it elementary school education. It was common for a person back then, during that 263-year stretch, that they know the fundamentals, and one of the fundamentals was home building. There wasn't no Home Depot back then. There wasn't no Lowe's or Menards. There wasn't any hardware stores as we know it. People back then, through their elementary school learnings, which is dramatically different than what it is today, they learn how to go into the woods, the forest. They know how to identify the right trees. They knew how to take them down. They knew how to make their own lumber. And then, and they did this with family and friends. And for 263 consecutive years, they built. That was the way they got the houses built and business storefronts built through social capital. That's why I'm saying social capital is the original financial resource, at least one of them. No bank in sight for 263 years. Now, let's go. I said the first bank was in 1790, so let's go to 1790. Okay, from 1513 when they set foot on this continent. That's 277 years. So for 277 years now, we got more time in there. No house was built on a North American continent with any type of institutional bank or finance company financing for 277 years. Matter of fact, let's take another statistic. Okay, so 1790 minus 1776. There was 14 years between the birth of this nation until the first chartered bank was on now what we now call the United States. 14 years. Nobody had a bank mortgage to get it. The mortgage, the birth of the mortgage as we know today, appeared, that was government insured at least, was 1934. So 1934 minus 1513, between the time the first European expedition officially set foot on what we now call North America, or the continental United States, including, I'm going to throw Canada and Mexico in there, between that date and 1934, when the first government-insured mortgage came in on the scene, that's 420 years. There was no such thing as government insurance like FHA to get a mortgage. And in 1934, they were doing insuring 10-year mortgages and 20-year mortgages. Okay. The 30-year insured mortgage, as we know it from FHA today, first appeared in 1957. So from 1513 to 1957 is 444 years. So let's take 1 year off of that. So for 443 years, there was no such thing as a 30-year government-insured mortgage. Since then, what has come onto the landscape is rent court, bankruptcy court, housing court, all these government agencies that can basically take away your house. The framers of the Constitution didn't have any mortgages on their house, at least not any. They might have had people mortgages through social capital, but they didn't have any bank, none of the mess that we have today. So that's what we play that every morning, and we're going to continue to play it. And what has happened is, in our society today, we have become addicted to government-issued pieces of paper called money, legal tender. We have to go back to developing our social capital where we can basically build a house without any without any government assistance and without any bank money whatsoever. And people do it. But it's not that many. One stat I found out last night about, depending on the year, but let's say, I think this was in 2014, only 41,000 people, and there are over 329 million in the United States right now, only 41,000 people had their homes built. Now, let me put a distinction on that. These were only 41,000 people who were owner builders. Now, a owner builder, there's two distinctions of an owner builder. Most owner builders, I would say well over 50 or 60% of them, most owner builders get a building permit and they act as a general contractor and they subcontract the work out. Nothing wrong with that, but they're not doing any of the work themselves. But that's still, once again, over 329 million people in the United States, only 41,000 owner builders. But most of them subcontracted the work out. So I'm just speculating here. It's probably maybe about, out of that 41,000, maybe, I'm going to put it at 10%, 4,000 people. Well, let's put that 5,000. Maybe, roughly maybe 5,000 people out of over 329 million people in the United States this year will actually build their own house or participate in the process with friends and family. We have become addicted, just like a crackhead, just like a heroin addict, just like any dope fiend, just like any alcoholic. We have become addicted to bank-owned institutional debt. And that's slavery. Let's go to the phone lines here real quick. 773, your mic is open.
Good morning, Dr. L.A. You know, something else I'd like to add to this. I'd like to add to this conversation. We've also tapped into the educational system because all of those years that you were talking about, people knew how to live independent. Independency, I think we forgot what being independent is.
Right.
And we got addicted to getting 15 cents and telling somebody else that they're going to pay, we're going to pay them to build our house. We messed up our educational system in that same process.
Right.
Because our educational system allowed us to know what trees to cut, what number to make out of the trees. All of that information got lost in building houses.
Right.
And we just forgot how to add, subtract, and count. And not knowing that we also brought a third or fourth party into our life. And we had
right.
to pay those third or fourth party people to keep us enslaved. That was a system set up to keep us paying a monthly bill. That monthly bill is an enslavery system that was set up to keep us digging in our pockets to keep other folks rich that wasn't working.
Right.
These people that we was paying the note to was not working. So how could they get rich and we get poor and poorer? Because the system that they set up for us to buy into was to give them the money to be a third or fourth party system. When you said this morning about the court system, the court system, that person doesn't have anything to do with your house that you built or the land that you carved out and your and the land that you chose to build your house on or the land that you chose to build your crop on or your factory on. They have nothing to do with that. But they got
right.
paid for being a third or fourth party person. And then here comes the unions on top of all that to increase the labor costs. Boy, I tell you, to increase the labor costs that it costs to build that same house that you built, that your neighbor was building down the street. He was building that house for, so we're going to put it at $1,000.
Well, let's take the example of the audio that both you and I play, the solar cabin. Okay, he built the house for $2,000 with the solar system. It's overall $5,000. Okay, if that now he did it by himself. Now, or maybe with a little help from one of his brothers or friends. Now, let's add in some of the people that you just named. If he didn't have solar and then tapped into the grid system, then they're going to be in his pocket every month. And then if he didn't build them himself and some friends, and then union people built that house, that house would go from $5,000. You may as well bare minimum. Matter of fact, you can probably multiply that by 10 times will be $50,000. So 20, you can boost that up to $100,000 if unions got involved.
Yeah.
Building the exact same house.
Yes.
And then if he got a mortgage
exact
to pay
same.
For all that, if he got a mortgage to pay
yeah.
all that, then you got somebody else in your pocket. And that's what's happening to the typical American consumer today when it comes to housing. And if you can't pay them back,
yeah.
then they got these courts set up to put you out of your house.
Then you become indebted to the system.
Right.
You are indebted to the system, and being indebted to the system makes you a volunteer slave.
You're right. That the volunteer is the correct word. That's the correct word. So basically, to get out of that is you need to learn how to build, and that's why we'll be having three, possibly four, cranking up very soon, or at least two of them will be cranked up soon, where you can get out. And like I say, today's podcast title, Social Capital, the original financial resource, so you can learn how to build. Now, some of you might have to learn how to build and move it yourself. Some of you might want to get out of the situation you're in, and it'll still be good to learn how to build because you can – you know, build these and then rent them out and then use that additional income to pay off the debt. If you got some big debts like school loans, mortgage payments and all that type, or, you know, whatever debt you got to extinguish. So, you know, everybody's got a different situation, but this is elementary school teaching, real elementary school teaching, because it's fundamental. And everybody should know it, which it was dating back to 1513. But as banks got more prevalent in this country, and I would say around the 1930s, but yeah, the average slave, a person enslaved in this country, a lot of us talk about how they were mistreated or whatever, but most of them were more educated than we are today. because they knew how to grow their own food and build their own homes, and they were inventors. And a lot of them bought their freedom. And then if you check the record, some of the families that owned slaves, their primary source of income was that slave, because those slaves had a skill set that we typically do not possess today. The average American, some people like Pleasant, you got those skills, but the average American does not have that. So, Pleasant, I'll let you have the last word for today.
Well, I would say let's start building. My word for today is unite and start building, because if you don't start building, you are playing into the hands of the people that has passed the laws to make you a volunteer slave. That's my word for today.
And you got to start building. All right, now you got a podcast tonight, which is strictly business. That's at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can, I used to know the number. I know 516-387. Let me look it up. You know what? That's another thing we got to practice on is my, wait a minute. Okay. Contacts. Here we go.
Yeah, 516-387-1512.
Oh, okay. 516-387-1512. Got it. Yeah,
yes.
I got to start remembering phone numbers like I used to. All right, 516-387-1512. That's the call in number for 7:30 p.m. tonight. And as we're logging off here, I just got a text message because I had a property available for rent, and it the message was, is it still the unit still available? When you start building, actually, as you build, start marketing the property. Start marketing the property before you build it, because the people that are going to contact you have cash money ready to go. But that's another podcast. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
The Virginia Lottery has three new Let's Make a Deal games, a print and play, a scratcher, and an online game. Play the game show for yourself today. Visit VALottery.com/deal. Let's Make a Deal, licensed by Fremantle, all rights reserved.